Robinson was on our station, and he said that the whole process between FDOT and the Navy was kind of stalled and not moving forward. Do you have any type of update? Is this still something that's happening or in the works?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's not resolved. I did hear those comments. I'm not sure what the mayor's alluding to, but no, they have not stalled. It's just a slow process. I know the public wants this to be done right away, and we know they would, in the perfect world, the access road could be started to work on right now. But there's a lot of planning that goes involved with it. There's a lot of costs that need to be associated. There will be costs for the Navy to do this, and right now they're in the planning stage. We don't even have a plan yet to even decide what that cost would be. So FDOT and the Navy are working together. They are working on trying to come up with a plan, and then we're coming forward. But it will take some time. And while that's our long-term process we're looking at, the Navy is also looking at maybe short-term solutions to help in the meantime. So nothing's fizzled out. We are still working.
Nothing has fizzled out. That was Jason Bortz, Public Affairs Officer for NES Pensacola. A very different account of the ongoing progress towards putting the public access road down the middle of NES Pensacola. FDOT's proposal, big Navy considering it. Of course, the mayor says everything has stalled. The Navy says nothing has stalled. Joining us now, we have Senator Doug Broxson. We're going to primarily focus on next week's insurance discussion at the special session, but he's been a key player in all of these conversations as well, and I wanted to get him in on this as well. Senator, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be back.
Oh, it's great to have you always. So obviously we're going to focus on next week's special session, but I did want to give you a chance to at least weigh in. The mayor says we're stalled. That's what Commissioner Bender says we're stalled. The Navy says we're not stalled. Commissioners Underhill and Bergosh both say it's a very dangerous thing to start, poking our eye in big Navy's face and telling them, you better open that base up with public letters from public officials. Can you shed some light on this, where we stand, with the FDOT proposal to turn the main road into a public access highway with, security provisions and off ramps to get over to, the lighthouse and the museum and all that?
Well, I don't, I'd like to take the Navy's position that it's not stalled, but from a civilian position, it looks like it's stalled. So we definitely gave them a robust proposal that is not uncommon for us to have three ways through bases in Florida. And we presented a plan to them that says, hey, we'll take jurisdiction of that road. We'll maintain it. We'll put the fence for the enclave to the museum. And we'll pick up the tab. What else do you need to know? And they said, well, let us look at it. So they've got security concerns. They've got a Navy-wide new thrust on how they secure their bases. Frankly, NAS is one of the last to be secured the same way that they are around the world.
Right.
So in one way, we're blessed. In the other way, we're kind of cursed because we've had access to that base for close to 100 years, and it's just putting a strain on our relationship, and they know that. We're going to definitely have a lot of community involvement in trying to send a strong message that we love them, we need them, but they need us too. And that's true when you think about, we educate all their kids, and we provide other services that are meaningful not only to our citizens but to theirs. We have no choice but to amp up the rhetoric, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a community meeting with leaders and elected people and talk about how we can be more proactive in communicating to our federal Navy partners.
Are you at all concerned? And I will tell you, I am concerned about this, but are you not concerned about the possibility that by creating friction in our relationship, that, as you said, amping up the rhetoric might instead alienate them and possibly jeopardize mission, jeopardize jobs, push them to say, hey, maybe Pensacola isn't the sweet place that we always thought that it was, and maybe we'll take our cards and play somewhere else, at least to a degree?
Well, I can't give you the sources of who's kind of guiding the ship, but that's not the advice they're giving us, and these are folks that should know. So we're not going to do any more. We're not going to be a bunch of renegades that go out and just start shooting at every problem with a threat. We want to work this out. We think it's important to the Navy. We think it's important to the museum. if we don't do something, we've got a $1 billion asset, multi-billion-dollar asset that's just going to dry up. It can't survive without people. And
you're talking about the museum and the lighthouse.
Yes.
Okay.
And also people having better access to see their veteran family members that have been interred there. We've had more disinterments from there than we've seen in the last 20 years. So there are multiple issues. We think we can navigate through the security problems, but we're going to definitely make a run at trying to convince them that we can figure out a way that they can be secure, that we can have reasonable access to let people go, the 6,000 or 7,000 people that would go on Thursdays to see the Blues practice.
Sure.
That's out. So there's a lot to this. And look, the Navy has always been good to Pensacola. They've always made a commitment to this air station. It's the cradle of naval aviation. So we're not trying to destroy anything. We're trying to enhance it.
Well, and certainly, and of course, the throughway value to the citizen. I mean, I get all that. I just, you know, I worry, you know, obviously I worry because I'm hearing other voices as well. And I worry that sometimes the things that we think are key identities are not as key to the Navy as they are to us. But, you know, we'll see. I did exactly what I said I wasn't going to do. We're going to focus on the insurance thing for next week. And here we wind up talking most of the time about the base. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll definitely talk about special session. Special session is going to start next week. This is totally your wheelhouse of homeowners insurance. For people who maybe haven't been tracking the problem, can you maybe just give them a, you know, 1 minute, like, this is where we're at and this is what maybe we need to do to try to fix it?
Well, we've had a tectonic shift in how we perceive insurance, primarily whose responsibility is it to replace a roof. Historically, when a storm came through and there was roof damage that you could see and there was leaks, insurance companies would step up and pay for it. Now what we're seeing is from the first day that roof is put on until its lifespan is gone, it's become the responsibility of the insurance companies to replace it. So we have these roving bands of thousands of people canvassing neighborhoods and telling them they're entitled to a new roof. It won't cost them anything. In fact, we'll send you back your money for the deductible. So the issue is not, it's really premiums, but it's also losses. We've got massive losses. State of Florida is in a much different place than any other state. We don't have major carriers that come in here. The people that ride homeowners, you can hardly say their name. No one's ever heard of them. But that's what happened after the 5 storms in 04 and 05. So we've got a real challenge. We can solve it. We just have to have the will of the legislature to do it. And we've got to get the House involved. They're very reluctant to do anything. They felt like we had some changes last year that should be given time to work. But we're also losing companies. We'll lose 6 companies this year, and reinsurance is going to probably double. So we've got to do something to give the homeowners a relief. If we don't do that, I think we're going to be accountable.
And I think some changes have already come in from the insurance company's side, where the policies are being written to put serious restrictions on the coverage for roofs and the amount of time that a roof can have been there if it's going to be covered in a storm. You know, very much trying to treat it as a depreciating asset, not the kind of thing that just gets replaced because it's been, you know, 15 years or whatever. Are those the kinds of things that we're looking at in special session, that, you know, Florida is going to start to, you know, regulate roof repair as a specific item in order to keep that from being the cost driver?
The main thing we need to do is send a message to our constituents that there's nothing for free. You can't have someone show up and you've got a roof that's been there 5 years and tell you it needs to be replaced and it's not going to cost you anything. In fact, you're going to make money on it.
Yeah.
And that's just a message that's not part. Insurance is very simple. It's almost like a bank. You put money in, you pay money out. If you don't have enough money coming in, you have to raise more money through premiums, and that's where we are, and people are feeling the pain of it, which is horrible. I mean, not this doesn't affect just a few people. This affects legislators and staff people and people in the banks. I mean, everybody that says that appears to be part of the problem are really involved in the problem. So I think we're going to have a great discussion. The governor's behind it. The Senate president is certainly for doing something. We just need to get some help from the House, and I think at the end of the day they'll do that.
All right. Well, we look forward to the conversation next week. It is clearly a burgeoning problem in Florida, and you know, I'm hoping we can find some way to solve it. And I tend to agree with your assessment that it's a lot of people collectively doing things that are in their own personal self-interest that are not beneficial overall. Because as you say, insurance is a very simple thing. If people are withdrawing too much money from the insurance bank and they're not paying enough in on the front end in premiums, they're just going to have to pay more premiums or the bank will just close, which is what we're seeing a lot of. State Senator Doug Broxson, sir, as always, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Have a great day.